Beyond Emotional Eating, How to Have Spiritual Victory Over Food. Hi, I'm Dana, and I'm a foodaholic. I never actually said those words out loud in a public setting, but I imagined doing so in the years I struggled to overcome my emotional eating and then out-of-control bulimia as a young woman. Most people, even the thin, engage in emotional eating at times. It's eating for any reason beyond pure physiological hunger, for the physical pleasure it brings. Who hasn't done that? Often the trigger involves a negative emotion, such as stress or loneliness, but sometimes we eat simply because it tastes so good. Is that a sin? Probably not, until it is. My emotional eating journey grew into such frequent compulsive overeating that I began purging to avoid excessive weight gain. I felt so out of control that I sometimes wished my issue was with alcohol or pills because it seemed those would be easier to permanently remove from my life. But food? Food is essential for survival. Daily life and celebrations revolve around it. From family meals to holiday banquets, food is always at the center. In the Bible, we see many examples of eating and feasting in a positive light. When the prodigal son finally returns home to the father, a feast was thrown in celebration. Jesus performed his first miracle, turning water into wine at a wedding feast. Christ tells us, "I stand at the door and knock," inviting us in to open the door so he can come in and eat with us. God created us to celebrate and enjoy food beyond simply nourishing our bodies. That's why he gave us taste buds. Yet for some of us, that beautiful gift of taste and the enjoyment it brings has become an enemy as well. We've allowed ourselves to seek food first when faced with a wide variety of emotions and circumstances. We eat when we're happy, we eat when we're sad, we eat when we're stressed and busy, we eat when we're bored. When food becomes our comfort and consumes our thoughts or causes us to feel out of control, it has likely become our idol. Our relationship with food has been developing since the day we were born. Consider this: God created breast milk to be slightly sweet. Our taste buds have been delightfully tickled from the moment of our first meal. Most of us associate food with love and comfort because they've been beautifully intertwined. So where do we begin to unravel our unhealthy relationship with food and rebuild it into one that promotes health and balance? How do we enjoy God's delicious gift of taste in a way that brings him glory? The first step, confession. Confess what? Our unhealthy, dare we say, sinful relationship with food. It's sinful if it's hurting us physically, emotionally, or spiritually. We need God's power to equip us to overcome. This begins with seeking his forgiveness. He does not shame or condemn us. He loves us. It will take time to change the habit of running to food for the wrong reasons. God wants us to run to him instead. Try to see each temptation as an opportunity to seek the Lord in his comfort and strength. Give yourself grace for the journey and focus on progress rather than perfection. If you continue to confess, repent, and gradually learn how to run to God for strength and comfort, you'll one day introduce yourself like this: "Hi, I'm a fully recovered emotional eater. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good, because he is so much more satisfying than food." 1 John 1:9, NIV. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 3:20, NIV. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Psalm 34:8, NIV. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Day 2. Surrender. As a recovered bulimic, I remember how I could eat to the point of feeling like an overstuffed sausage almost ready to explode. A few hours after purging, I'd sometimes find myself binging once again. I never felt satisfied. I felt powerless, ashamed, and discouraged. It wasn't until I began to surrender to Jesus as my Lord that I began to get a glimpse of how the Holy Spirit could renovate my thinking and tear down my destructive habits. With a lot of apprehension, I cautiously invited him into the very private parts of my messy life. I kept reminding myself that he could see it all anyway. Why not talk to him directly? Sometimes, even with my head in the bowl of the toilet as I purged my last bag of Oreo cookies, I called out to God for forgiveness and told him I wanted to give my body fully to him and find my satisfaction in him alone. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The battles of our flesh are tough ones to overcome no matter how much we love God and have victory in other areas. Sometimes the enemy would torment me with my failures and tell me that God was sick and tired of hearing me say the same old thing. But I knew that was a lie. Over a few months, I realized I'd gone from binging 4 or 5 times a day to 5 times a week. Within a year, I was only binging 2 or 3 times a month. I remember thinking, wow, I'm getting better. Just because I mess up now and then doesn't negate the fact that I rely on food to satisfy me less and less, and I'm running to God to satisfy me more and more. It is essential to believe that God loves you and is loving you throughout your journey, no matter how many times you fail. He knows your weaknesses. He sees your struggles to change. When we call out and surrender to Him, He orders our steps and delights when we are obedient. Psalm 37:23. When we run away, He runs after us. When we fail, He forgives us. He is a good and loving Father. Are you willing to invite God into your struggles today? Don't worry that you'll mess up. You will. Don't let the enemy tell you the lie that you will never find victory. Do acknowledge that you are certain to have tough days or weeks when you feel like you're moving backward. Remind yourself each day that you are focusing on progress over perfection. Ask the Lord to give you the courage to invite Him into your struggles and His strength to face off day-to-day temptations. We cannot do what only God can do, and He will not do what we can. Oswald Chambers. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness." Day 3. Renew. If changing our emotional eating habits and experiencing lasting weight loss were easy, there wouldn't be so many people struggling. We've no shortage of good information. There's a diet and health plan to meet almost every unique need. However, knowing what to do is not as big of an issue as knowing how to get yourself to do it. In my journey and then decades of coaching women, I've determined that one of the biggest roadblocks to permanent transformation is our thoughts. We're waging a battle of opinions that don't agree with God's truth, and that battle is happening in our minds. Pay close attention to how you talk to yourself, because you may just learn something very important. In the human brain, our most dominant thought wins. Hopefully, you have many healthy and biblically sound thoughts that influence you. But if you are continually struggling with habits and behaviors that you've failed to change, you are being driven by thoughts that are contrary to God's word. I call these thoughts lies. In Philippians 4:8, Paul gives us a biblical prescription for what to think about. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. All day long, remind yourself to tune in to the negative thoughts and words you say to yourself. Also, pay attention to your persistent negative emotions. These will often shed light on the lies you believe. The moment you become aware of that negativity, take that thought captive by calling it out and saying with strength and conviction, "That's a lie." For example, in the past, I would often think or say things like, "I can't control my cravings. I'll never lose weight. I'll never have a healthy relationship with food." My new response to that negative thought became, "No, that's a total lie. When I walk in the Spirit, I have self-control. I have the mind of Christ, and He is empowering me to change day by day. Don't underestimate what God's doing in your struggle to draw you closer to Him and transform you into the person He wants you to become. He wants you to believe the truth about yourself and Him. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Becoming transformed by the renewing of your mind is life-changing. It's something I've learned to pursue in all the dimensions of my life. And when I do, God tenderly reveals the lies I believe and where I'm living outside His will. It has not only changed my lifestyle habits, but saved my marriage, influenced how I run my business, changed my attitude about money, and so much more. Romans 12:2, NASB. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. 2 Corinthians 10:5, ESV. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Hebrews 4:12, NASB. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Day 4. Walk. Most of us own a variety of household appliances. Vacuums, crock pots, electric mixers, and coffee machines make our lives much easier. Who would attempt to use any of these tools without plugging them into an electrical outlet? Just imagine pushing your power vacuum across a thick carpet, unplugged. Very little dirt or debris would get picked up. It would be an exercise in futility. Yet we often do this with our spiritual lives. I don't know about you, but I often find myself navigating through my day sometimes a bit like Martha in the Bible, who was worried and bothered about so many things. That's because I failed to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit in the simple details of everyday life. That's when I'd describe my day as stressful or frenzied. Those are also the days I'd more likely cave into emotional eating. I know I have a choice, but for some reason, I don't always choose it. After all these years, it still amazes me that because of our position in Christ, the Holy Spirit resides in us permanently. The very same power that rose Jesus from the dead is in us and with us 24/7. He gives us the ability to walk in His divine power if we choose to. And when we do, we experience the fruit of the Spirit, to include self-control. The fruits are not the result of some self-improvement program. They are supernaturally infused in us as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. One thing I've discovered and still must grapple with each day is that walking in the Spirit is always a moment-to-moment decision. The Holy Spirit is ready and waiting for us to acknowledge His presence. He's not just an ethereal power that comes and goes. He's a real person with personality and emotions. He dwells in us permanently and He loves us. Set, and reset. Our big assignment each day, each moment, is to choose to set our mind on things above. Colossians 3:2. It's an essential setting of our mind and will to be in continual fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, seeking His wisdom and power in all things, to include our battle to conquer emotional eating. What God desires of us is always possible. His methods of transformation always work. By renewing our minds and abiding in Christ moment to moment, we have the power to be all God intended. To realize this wonderful destiny requires a surrender of our hearts and a willful intention to be in constant communication with God. When we do this, we not only change our habits, we change our entire lives because God's path is the one with all the best rewards. Galatians 5:16 through 17, NASB. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another to keep you from doing whatever you want. Galatians 5:22, NASB. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. John 14:16 NASB. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. John 14:26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. John 15:4-5 ESV. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Day 5. Persevere. Confess, surrender, renew, walk. Learning to consistently implement the 4 spiritual steps to conquer emotional eating takes time. That's why step 5 is so essential. Persevere. Let's recap the 4 steps before we talk about what it means to persevere. Number 1, confess. Asking the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin each day, no matter how many times we've confessed it before, releases the guilt and reminds us we are not alone. Number 2, surrender. Choosing to invite God into our daily struggle through the surrender of our will tells him we're serious about our desire to transform our habits and glorify him in every corner of our lives. This permits God to take control because he will never override our free will unless we surrender it. Number 3, renew. Renewing our minds with the daily habit of healthy self-talk with statements of scripture that erase and replace the lies we believe is essential to our lasting transformation. This practice will rewire our brains physically and perform spiritual surgery on us. Number 4, walk. Choosing to look up and set our mind on things above so we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit is essential to overcoming temptation and walking in victory. We were never meant to do this in our own power. Number 5, persevere. When we persevere, we begin to experience encouraging signs that we are indeed making progress. But beware, on this side of heaven, we never fully arrive. We do get stronger and more equipped as we lean into God and put his principles into practice. However, the battle of the flesh will continue for our entire lives because we are human and the enemy does not want us to succeed. Not today, Satan. Though Satan has lost the battle for your salvation, he is still highly interested in tripping you up and diminishing the effectiveness and intimacy of your walk with God. There are several ways he can disrupt our lives if we allow it. Here are a few that relate to our desire to live a healthier lifestyle. Temptation. He often tempts us by appealing to our natural inclinations and weaknesses. He will tell you that you deserve the very food you're trying to avoid. He whispers that you're unfairly deprived and cannot enjoy your social time when others around you are eating and drinking things you are choosing not to. Doubt and disbelief. As you tell yourself the truth that you can have victory with God's help, he can plant seeds of doubt in your mind, making you question yourself and your faith in the power of the Holy Spirit to help you change. Accusations and discouragement. Satan may accuse you when you slip up, making you feel ashamed and condemned. He hopes you'll give up on yourself and God. There's a difference between shame and guilt. Guilt is the result of conviction by the Holy Spirit and ideally leads us to confession, which protects us from shame. Shame is from the enemy and tells us we're unworthy of God's forgiveness. Do not believe this lie. Idolatry. He wants you to be obsessed with food or any other thing that makes you feel out of control. Constant focus on food, both positive and negative, diverts your focus from God. What's the solution to this roaring lion that wants to devour you? It is to remind ourselves who this fallen angel is in comparison to God. Satan is not God's opposite and equal foe. He is God's creation who in his free will chose to reject God's love and perfect plan. Yes, he is God's enemy, but never his equal. By consistently practicing the 4 steps of daily confession, surrendering our will, renewing our minds, and walking in the Spirit, we can persevere long enough to build new godly habits from the inside out. In Jesus' name, we can overcome our weak flesh and the spiritual attacks we encounter. Don't allow Satan to intimidate you. We are more than conquerors when we apply God's truth to our situation. Just like taking your thoughts captive, call out the enemy with a forceful, "Not today, Satan." In Jesus' name and by his blood, I am victorious. 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.